going to be on page 124. Page 124. This is the final one of our Paraclesis Sunday sessions. We've still got this week's daily devotions, but this is the final one of our Sunday sessions. And we're going to be focusing this morning on this passage that we've read. And it's really important for us this is something, this paraclesis emphasis we've brought is something that really matters to us as a church. It's about journeying together, about coming alongside one another and really caring for one another. The key verse has been from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. In the Message version, it says, "He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings someone alongside who is also going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us." As J.H. Jowett said, "God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but so that we can be comforters." And I think that's a really good way of putting it. And this morning we're going to be looking not just as we've looked for a number of days at the themes of encouragement or consolation or exhortation or comfort, but today we're going to be looking at connecting and how we connect to people who are in need. And so we want to take this message out not only to love one another here in the church, but to take it outside the walls of this church. We can paraclesis people who are neighbors, friends, colleagues, anyone around us that God brings to us. We're going to be looking in that passage in Acts chapter 3 at the Gate Beautiful, and the challenge really in this passage is about connecting with those who have needs around us, and that's what the passage is about. But just before we come on to the passage, just to set some little bit of background, in the Paraclesis Manual you'll see it talks about entreating, and this is the word that we're using today for paraclesis, the word entreat. For example, in Luke chapter 15, in the prodigal son story, here's what the Bible says about the elder brother. It says, "When he was angry, he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him." So in the prodigal son story, the elder brother wanted to stay outside. He was angry. The father went out and entreated him, or he paracleod him in Luke chapter 15. And it's that same paraclesis that we're talking about here this morning. God wants us to entreat others who are outside to come in to his presence. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he gave us the Great Commandment. So not only are we called to go, we're called to love, but he also gave us a great connection. And in John chapter 20, he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And we're called to go and entreat people, to call them to come in, to come alongside people. "As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And Jesus came alongside us, and he called us to God, and we are called to come alongside others who don't yet know God. We've been focusing a lot in Paraclesis on our church relationships and building a culture here in St. Mary's of loving one another. And that's the great commandment, but we also get the great connection that we're called to make as well, to go out and to share with others. And one of the ways we connect with people is by caring, genuinely caring about their needs. We don't just go out and see people as projects. We see people as people with real needs, people that God loves and that God has created. We care by connecting. Speaks in the manual about recognizing a felt need and deciding to intentionally engage with that need, joining that person's journey, understanding their story, reaching out and doing something about it in their lives. The one of the great ways we do this, we engage with people's felt needs. And you'll know from Scripture as well that in John 14, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." another parakletos who will stay with you forever, and that's the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us to help. So Jesus was described, do you remember how Simeon described the Lord Jesus when he was a baby as a parakletos? Jesus is the parakletos, and that's why he says then later in John 14, I will send you another parakletos. So how can we do this in treating? How can we do this coming alongside people? The disciples had a parakletos in Jesus, and we have a parakletos, another helper, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who empowers and equips us to come alongside others and to bring them to Christ. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Acts 1:8. And it's interesting, in Acts, what is a witness? Empowered to witness, that's what we're empowered to do. And a witness is someone who simply tells the truth about the story that they were part of. A witness tells a story. They come alongside and they tell a story. And the Holy Spirit, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to tell our story. That's our gift of journey that we have to share with others. And it's a wonderful gift. It's something precious. And whatever journey we've been on and whatever difficulties we may have experienced in our journey, that's all part of the gift that we can offer to other people, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come alongside and we witness to all that God has done in our lives, large and small, things large and small. One other, before we come on to Acts 3, just for a moment, one other little way that we can see this happening is, for example, in John chapter 4, where Jesus comes to the woman at the well. And we see there how Jesus meets this woman. She was an outcast. She sat at the well, and Jesus entreated her. Now, what did he do when he met with her? He started with her point of felt need. She was there to draw water. So what did Jesus talk about with her? Water. He didn't preach at her straight away. He met her in the place of her felt need, and he connected with her in that place. So Jesus felt, the felt need is the conscious need. And people have many kind of needs that they're conscious of in the world today. It might be, I don't know, to do with work or shopping or finances or getting the groceries or whatever it is that people's immediate needs that are filling people's minds each day. We are called to connect with people in their in whatever their conscious need is, and to connect with them and care for them in that place. Jesus addressed felt needs, whether it was the feeding of the 5,000 when the need was hunger, whether it was the Emmaus Road disciples and the need there was broken hearts, whether it was the wedding at Cana, the need there was no wine. So what did Jesus do? He made wine. He met people in that place of addressing their felt needs. But then he went on. He didn't leave it there. He would go on into addressing the real need that was under the surface. And that's why in the woman at the well, the conversation ended up talking about real thirst, soul thirst, if you like. And that Jesus took the opportunity that was there as he dealt with this woman's felt need to address her deepest spiritual, real need, her need of a Savior. And what a wonderful thing happened to that woman, and her entire town believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to do the same. We need to connect with people's needs. And that's where we come on to this Acts 3 passage. It says there, in Acts 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour, which would have been like a 3 p.m. church prayer meeting. That's where they were off to. And they wanted to, it says there, they met this man, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. So he had suffered severe disability from some kind of congenital disease. But there was something worse going on for this man than just his condition. He was also marginalized by religion. You see here, he was sat at the gate beautiful. Because of the custom and the law at that time, he wasn't allowed to go into the temple because of his disability. And so he lay on the wrong side of the gate into God's house. And so he would have been marginalized. He wasn't accepted in the community. But also he was highly dependent on others. His felt need was for money. And that's why he would gather alms at the Gate Beautiful, and people possibly just wanted to give him money because they wanted to do something good before they went into the temple to please God. And so it was a sort of codependency. It wasn't helping him come out of dependency on money, and it wasn't helping the worshippers either, because they were marginalizing him rather than helping him. And so this man's need was for money, and that's when Peter and John arrived. And Peter and John obviously had journeyed with Jesus, and they had seen Jesus do this before. They'd seen him with the woman at the well. They'd seen him meet felt needs and then go in for the real need. And that's what they did in this situation. For them, this was an opportunity, a day of opportunity, an opportunity to connect with this man who had been in need for so long, who'd been kept outside of church. And Peter and John were connected. They were connected to a caring community, so they knew that the first thing we should do is stop and care for somebody. Whatever that may be, this is still a human being. And we're always called to stop and care for other people made in the image of God and people that Christ loves and died for. Peter and John were connected to that caring community of the church, and that's how we're meant to be known in the world, as a caring community. But they also connected with this paralyzed man. It says, fixing their eyes on him, they said, "Look at us," verse 4. The Message version says, they looked him straight in the eye. And they looked to him with eyes of compassion, love, and truth. They were entreating him. And this was, they wanted him to get beyond his felt need and into his real need, and they did want to connect with his felt need. And so, you know, it says there in verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He's still going with his felt need, but they obviously didn't have any money, but they did care. Sometimes we're not able to meet people's felt needs, but actually if we care, we will always be able to do something. And it's really important that we care about people that we're facing. We can't always do everything they need for helping them. Sometimes it's right to give people money, and sometimes it's not. We don't want to keep people in dependency, but we also want to help people. But we can always care about them. And then these Peter and John connected also to his real need. In verse 6, he says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man's real need was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't know it, but that was his real need. And those disciples, Peter and John, they took this opportunity. I think this is wonderful community mission, because they are caring about this man. They're not dismissing him. They're not just seeing him as a soul to be saved. They're actually stopping, caring for him, compassionate towards him. They don't have what he thinks his felt need is. They haven't got any money on them. But the one thing they've got, they give him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are called to do, and to share. They shared this gift of journey, that we can meet social and soul need. And that's wonderful. But you look at what he says here. He says, such as I have, I give you. Such as I have. What Peter and John had was their journey with Jesus. They had the Lord Jesus. And this is even Peter who denied him. Peter who'd made terrible mistakes. Peter who had not had always the best journey with Jesus. But actually this is now transformed Peter, saying, such as I have, I give you. Such as I have. I wonder, what do you and I have? What do we have? Can you give your journey with Jesus to someone else? You could say to someone in need, a neighbor who's distressed, someone who is lonely, someone who perhaps is facing different kinds of problems. It could be sickness, bereavement, other kinds of trouble, that you could stop for that person, genuinely care for them, see their felt need. And it's a real need. It's not something just to be bypassed. It's really there. Compassion and love and but then through that entreat them that, well, I can't solve your problems, but what I have, I give to you. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my experience of what God has done for me. It may be small or big, but here's what I've got. This is who I am. This is such as I have, I give you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in that situation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That was a powerful moment. And we can share stories of grace. What is your gift of journey? What's your life experience? Where have you seen God at work in your life? What has God done for you? That is your such. Such as I have, I give you. We've all got something when we've met the Lord Jesus to give to others. It's something wonderful. And then let that be a place of connection and a place of opportunity to share the love of God with someone else. At our Hope Supper, the last Hope Supper we had, a dear lady said to us, "This is the first time in 2 years I have felt joy." And it's simply because of sitting down and there's no great sermons particularly going on, although we always do share a word, but it's sitting down and making a connection and caring and people sharing their life journey with Jesus with her. And she knows it's about Jesus. So don't look at what you don't have. Don't look at your limitations. Realize what you do have. We all have. Sometimes we feel so insignificant, don't we? And we think, have I really got anything to offer? But you know, friends, today, when you've got Jesus in your life, you do. You've got the Lord Jesus to offer. And embrace this journeying with others with certainty. God has given you a gift to give someone else. And all you need to do is make it available. Make your story available to someone else. It's amazing how you can encourage people in surprising ways when you feel sometimes so insignificant or your story doesn't feel that. It feels a small story. For someone else, it could be their moment of breakthrough, your story. It could really help somebody. And that's what this entreating is about. It brings such courage to other people to hear somebody share their story, a simple, vulnerable, honest, open story of Jesus in your life can transform someone else's life. And that's what it's about. And we have a story to tell. Sometimes your test becomes your testimony. Even if you share the struggles you've had, that's not all about sharing success. It's about sharing journey, struggles, difficulties. You know, it might be that you say, well, I have also experienced that place of loneliness or pain or debt or struggle or sickness in some way. And here's how I've journeyed that with Jesus. Now, that would make a tremendous difference to someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. And you're introducing them at the point of their felt need. You're also introducing them to the real need, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are empowered in Jesus' name. He says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's what we're empowered to do, that he can take what God can take whatever has gone into your life, gone on in your life. It doesn't matter how low you've sunk or how high you have risen. God will take it and use it in the name of Jesus Christ. And notice lastly, they didn't give him a hand out, they gave him a hand up. It says there, they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Isn't that wonderful? What a great thing happened in that man's life. He was on the wrong side of the door before, And now he came into God's presence. But it wasn't just the temple. I believe that that he would have come to know the Lord Jesus, because that's what I believe would have happened. But well, it doesn't precisely tell us, but I'm sure Peter and John shared the gospel with him. And they reached out, they took his hand, they grasped this connection of opportunity, and they shared with him. And what I'm going to do at the end of the service today is, some of you have already had some of these kindness cards. I'm going to give you a kindness card at the end again. If you've had one before, I know you're looking forward to this moment, aren't you? Getting your kindness card. Yes. And it's just an opportunity, because sometimes all we need is that little window of opportunity to share our journey of Jesus with others. In the church, outside the church, whichever way. And we can grasp that those opportunities we get every day. And then these men engaged in journey evangelism. Peter and John took the opportunity when everyone else walked by to entreat this man. And so as we end this course, and next week I'm going to be just reflecting on follow-up from Paracelsus together with us. But as we end the kind of the content of this course, you know, we ask the question at the beginning, who cares? Who cares? Who cares for you? Who do you care for? May we answer that question, you know, do you care? Yes, we care. Yes, we're going to come alongside one another. Yes, we come alongside those that we meet every day, shopping, in our streets, in our workplaces, in church, wherever we may be, coming alongside, journeying together. And I just really pray that we take this journey from observing sometimes to taking responsibility and saying it's not up to the church. We are the church. We're all the church. All of us. And it's all of our joy and our duty together to journey together. May I pray for us as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful story from Acts and how this man's life was changed when he was introduced to Jesus. And Father God, we pray that you would really empower us by your Holy Spirit to share the story of God and the testimony of God in our lives with others. Lord, give us that care. Give us that love and compassion. And give us, Lord God, we pray, that heart to journey together in a whole new way, that we may see you at work in our lives and in our church family. And in a new way, Father, we pray that the people we meet this week, that there be opportunities to bring you and the real need that people have into people's lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Give us grace to continue and to follow on with all you've been saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen.